Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got, Venerable Tom is here.
Hello.
Yes, looking off. You're just looking like venerable.
Thank you.
You're just looking venerable.
Thank you.
But not dead yet.
You look venerable today as well.
I'm not dead yet.
We don't quote Monty Python too much on this show. And of course, we have, what's your name again? It's Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
Yes. And the band's back together, and we we're just still having a lot of fun. You know, maybe we should call this a series like Fun with Pope Leo. You know? We're just enjoying. Basking is probably a better word.
Yeah.
We are basking.
Yeah, but also the conversations don't stop. I mean, I keep having them all the time with all kinds of different folks.
I'm not going to say, well, that's the way it always is, Tom. But I do recall, like, when Pope Francis and when Pope Benedict, I remember being like, well, it's kind of like this. When you go and you buy a new car, mm-hmm. and whatever kind of car, and maybe you didn't notice, like one time I remember we had a Ford Fiesta, mm-hmm. and it's like, it's a terrible car, by the way. And yeah. when our family bought a Ford Fiesta, and they were kind of new, and they were kind of whatever, and I'm like driving around the Ford Fiesta or riding, because it was just a kid, and I remember looking out going like, hey, look, there's a Ford Fiesta. Hey, look, there's a Ford Fiesta. And all of a sudden, when you have a Ford Fiesta, you start noticing all the other Ford Fiestas, even though there's not that many of them. It's kind of like what they're doing with the Tesla Cybertrucks or whatever now. You know, everyone, they're counting. I saw one today. You know, that right. kind of thing. And I think
it's like
it just
a slug bug.
Yeah, and so when we have a new pope, it's funny that all of a sudden everyone's going like, hey, about the new pope. What about the new pope? He said the new pope. There's the new pope. You guys got a new pope.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a great opportunity for conversation.
It is.
Fun thing about the Ford Fiesta, for those who don't know, the cup holders, the cup holders come with salsa. You know, a salsa.
Wow, yeah, Fiesta. You're digging deep there. Yes. I will say that I like the Ford Fiesta less than Pope Leo. I'll say that. I really am enjoying basking in Pope Leo, and it's so funny. And I don't want to fall into the trap that I think a lot of other people are. We talked about this the last time we talked, I think, where we talk about the fact that everybody wants to put him in a box pretty quick.
Right.
They want to be able to say, well, I was the one that identified him as a postmodern blah 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 blah, blah. You know, in some kind of either in psychological terms or in socioeconomic terms or in political terms, and we want to. It's like Pope in a box, you know. So we want to put a Pope in a box and just to be able to label and say, okay, this is what we're going to have for the next X number of years. We're going to have this Pope in this box, and it's just it's not good to do that. And we're not doing that either because you can't put the church in a box.
Well, and I think something that I've noticed is there's a sense of wonder that a lot of people have. Like, it's not just enthusiasm. It's sort of like there's a sense that God's on the move right now in the church, and Pope Leo is a big part of that, and the sense of just excitement of what's God doing right now? What is God going to do next? And I think that when you have that sense of wonder, like, it's appropriately accompanied by a sense of mystery.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. They start to see the mystery, and the thing is, especially even because this is not the one time, but it is a singular time in the church's history or a rare time in the church's history where all of the world, the universal world, sees the Catholic Church, and everybody's kind of positive. I mean, they're not negative. There's not like a bunch of papacy haters out there. There might be some, but you don't hear as much from them now. And I just think we talked about already, Tom, about the wonderment, if that's a word, that our non-Catholic friends would come and ask us questions.
That's where a lot of it's coming from.
You know, and I just, these are those rare times, because normally in a normal church event, in a normal church's calendar year, I don't get a lot of Protestants going like, hey, it's really interesting what's going on with the Catholic Church. You don't really hear that, right? But when there's a new pope, all of a sudden it's like, well, this whole thing and how this happens, and this is interesting, and tell me more about this. Which I think we've said before, and I continue to agree that it's an evangelistic opportunity. It's evangelization is vital to our church, and it's just an opportunity to have conversations that you wouldn't normally have had. But I don't want to fall in the trap of trying to put our Pope in a box. But I too, like, I'm just hanging on every word. I'm reading his addresses, and then finding little pieces out of him, going like, hey, this is interesting.
Well, and something that's been really helpful too is, you know, he took the name Pope Leo the 14th, and he has taken multiple instances. We talked about it last time, where he takes a moment to honor Pope Leo the 13th and some of his wisdom, and share what about Pope Leo the 13th does that he connects with, that he wants to sort of, what part of that legacy does he want to carry forward. So I think that when he's doing that, and he's been very intentional from the beginning in doing that, he's really introducing, he's giving us a window into who he is, you know, as opposed to leaving us guessing as to the things that matter to him. And I think that has been really great.
And interesting you mentioned that, because that's one of the quotes I wanted to talk about today. I mean, just 3 days after he was elected to the papacy, 3 days after, when he was explaining to the cardinals in an address, he was explaining why he took the name Leo the 14th. And he actually calls all up Rerum Novarum, which is one of Pope Leo the 13th's great documents, and he makes this interesting connection, and because everyone just wants to know, like, well, why'd you take that name? You know, well, what's your favorite color? You know, they just want to ask all the 20 questions to the Pope, and he, I don't know that I've always heard or paid attention to, if I didn't, like, why these recent popes have all taken the names that they took, or I say recent, the ones in my lifetime, why they took these particular names. But this one, he's kind of spells it out, but it wasn't something I was expecting him to say. And here's the quote that Pope Leo the 14th says: "Sensing myself called to continue in this same path, I chose to take the name Leo the 14th. There are different reasons for this, but mainly because Pope Leo the 13th, in his historic encyclical Rerum Novarum, addressed the social question in the context of the first great industrial revolution. In our own day, the Church offers to everyone the treasury of her social teaching in response to another industrial revolution and to developments in the field of artificial intelligence that pose new challenges for the defense of human dignity, justice, and labor." And I thought, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very telling. It wasn't, you know, and so, because people, when he took Leo the 14th, I mean, we had some people in certain places who they saw Leo the 13th, you know, defending workers' rights, you know, and it's like power to the people. And I think some people went down that path, and I think other people went down the, oh, Leo the 13th, didn't he do the St. Michael the Archangel prayer? And he was against modernism and things like that, and saw that as an evil.
Were showing up.
Right, and so people are going like, well, which is he? And then he does this interesting thing where he kind of blends. To me, it was beautiful, and I think it was very emblematic of the Church, which is not a political institution, it is not a pendulum. The Church doesn't swing left, and then it swings right, and then it swings left. I think the world swings around the Church, and the Church is a bedrock. It's supposed to be a bedrock, right? And I think this is expressing that, because he's taking modern things and applying them and saying how the Church is going to live in this modern world in its bedrock existence, so that the Church doesn't swing. Like, I think we're going to swing a little right here, or we're going to swing a little left. And so he takes this issue. He mentions, you know, Leo the 13th, and saying, I took Leo the 14th because of artificial intelligence.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He didn't say it exactly like that, but he mentions that as one of these key things, saying, look, we're in another industrial revolution right now. It's like a second, and so maybe you could call it a technological industrial revolution, but we are. It is literally revolutionizing the way we do things, and so he quotes Rerum Novarum, or he harkens back to Rerum Novarum, which is really about you know, industry and factories and taking advantage of workers and all these different things. And then also talks about the evils of things like socialism and communism and just all these things that that were facing people at the time. And now he sees that there's a whole new threat to humanity that really we need to go back and reread Rerum Novarum to even look at this new threat, or I say this new reality of this new industrial revolution that we're experiencing.
And I find it interesting that he's pointing to this because on one hand, you know, I think all of us have heard people express the concern, is AI going to take everybody's jobs, right? And that's obviously relevant to this in terms of the dignity of work, the dignity of the human person, and the relationship between those two things. But I actually think it cuts across a lot of different sort of themes of Catholic thought over in recent decades, especially, right? You know, we've heard... And Pope Francis also spoke up against this. You know, we've heard sometimes the phrase technocracy being used, you know, like warnings against the technocratic rule of the world. And, you know, that's kind of a complicated thing potentially to unpack. But, I mean, traditionally what it was it was technical experts ruling everything and having everything sort of figured out with their, you know, with their calculations,
as to how to
sort out the world, and then all human beings are reduced to just, you know, data points,
and then using that technology to manipulate,
using the technology to manipulate and sort of get your way. And I think what a lot of people have seen is AI now has taken the role that it has. Now technocracy is not just like technical experts. It's like, are we all going to just start like surrendering to technology? I mean, the same way we're kind of surrendering our day to things like our smartphones and to social media and just be like, just entertain me. Okay, now I have to work. Just do my job for me, you know? And are we going to turn off our critical thinking? Are we going to turn off that which makes us human? Are we going to turn off, you know, God working through our gifts and in our intellects, which is how our dignity is brought about through our work? Are we going to turn that off and just surrender, wave the right white flag of surrender to things like AI? Because if we do that, we're just going to be letting our humanity go. And I think that there are deep dangers to what AI could do to us.
Well, what you're saying, where you started that was with that this is not just about labor. It's about our humanity.
Yes.
Right? Which can extend into family.
Yes.
I mean, and so who we are as human persons, because I agree with you on the, I don't want to necessarily say that we're slaves to technology, but man, I have to feel, you know, like one of Pavlov's dogs, you know, when my phone vibrates.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how we are trained. And I would love to see an experiment that took like this little pocket, like pill sized thing that you just put in your pocket, and it would randomly throughout the day just vibrate. You know, you hear that noise. I just made like thousands of people check their phones, right? And it's just amazing how there's this guttural reaction. There's this, your body just kind of kicks in to do things. And I don't know that that's specifically what Pope Leo was talking about, but I do know that this is by extension of what he talked about. You know, the dignity of the human person, the dignity of work and what it means to be human, artificial intelligence and how it can essentially invade this space and become the superior, which that would be devastating, right?
Yes.
That would be absolutely devastating. I also want to talk about another quote that he said that we can kind of then tie these things together. But this was when he was speaking to the diplomatic corps. And he did this, I guess it was May 16th, I think. And in this address, he goes back to a basic thing that a lot of people think is controversial. He actually said it. Did you hear him say it? He said it, yeah. And it's like, it's not. But at the same time, he said it, which I think is good. And I think the church is very welcoming of some clarity on some of these issues. And this is what he said: it is the responsibility of government leaders to work to build harmonious and peaceful civil societies. This can be achieved above all by investing in the family, founded upon the stable union between a man and a woman. A small but genuine society and prior to all civil society. So it's like, this is not new.
Right.
This is ancient, but at the same time, it needs to be said, because when you look at what we just talked about with the Rerum Novarum and artificial intelligence, and where the Pope is on like labor and humanity and that, and then you factor in, again, that's why I wanted to bring this conversation not just about labor and society and industrialization and all that kind of stuff, but also to family, like just the common core, the basic thing. And he's saying that really the first society, the little society, is the family, mm-hmm. right? And I think to some degree, I think it's safe to say that, and I'm not saying that Catholics feel this way, but there's a lot of people in our secular world that have lost the sense of family and lost the sense of its role in shaping and forming and how God uses the family really as the little church, right? That first place where we call home, and that first place where we learn about God, and we and then also we learn how to live, and that that becomes the fabric of all society. And every single society that's ever existed has had the family, a stable relationship, as he describes it, between a man and a woman, right? And it's critical that it's stable, and it's critical that it's a relationship, and it's critical that it's a man and a woman. Right. And he just basically he just said the obvious, which is kind of funny, because there's a I say funny, it's kind of sad commentary, but there's a lot of people that had a negative or visceral reaction to what he said. And there were a lot of people that were disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, people who were thinking like, finally, we're going to just break this thing wide open, and we're going to suddenly realize that we were never meant to be, you know, a ball and chain and locked together and in this way, you know, this traditional idea of a man and a woman and blah, blah, blah. It's like we need to branch out and venture into the great unknown. It's like, no, pretty much not that, you know. And Pope Leo the 14th kind of basically states the obvious. But I really love this, where it seems like we're going right now, mm-hmm. right? Where the Pope is revealing little bits more of himself as we kind of encounter him more. And I think that I'm liking what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I've heard people who are very questioning of, first of all, the Catholic Church and Catholic teaching, but I've also heard people that are fervently Catholic, right, and very uber Catholic, if you want to say it that way, who are going, hey, I am cautiously optimistic with Pope Leo.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that, because I think that I've been praying, you know, for some... you know, clarity in terms of teaching, because I see things from the ground level, right? I've got 9 kids. I think I've told most people in the world, you know, and anyone listening to the show, if they listen for a little while, they realize they've got, you know, been married for 38 years. Hello, Bess. And have been, you know, 9 kids and, you know, and some grandkids, and just, I'm very tuned in to like where the kids are, what the world is thinking and why the world is thinking that. And I'm thinking, you know, we're at a time where our bishops need to be very focused. And I'm not going to say this sounds wrong, but very focused on what I've been talking about for the last 10 years, yeah. which is save the family, save the world. Focus on the family. You want to solve all the problems of the world. Have a man fall in love with a woman fall in love with a man, have them get married and have them have babies, right? And have them go to church. And these are just basic, simple life rules. And when we go to this basic simplicity of life, really build the building blocks of society, you suddenly realize everything sort of writes itself.
Well, it also relates, like you were saying earlier, to his commentary on the relationship between work and human dignity, and the way that it all relates. I think sometimes the way in which our society has become wired in recent centuries, it's kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around the experience that the church had for the first for multiple centuries of its life. But like the word economy, for example, if you look it up in terms of what it's the root of the word economy is, economia, it's household, right? So like originally when discussion of the economy was being had, it was a discussion of a household. And the functioning of the household, and a household was literally an economic union. You know, we had this notion where since time immemorial, men have just have been packing up their briefcases and leaving to go off to their jobs. And now recently, women said, I want briefcases, too. And so now they're packing up their briefcases and they're going. And that's the direction of how things are going. Now, that's actually not an accurate depiction of what the economic life of a family was. Like, what it actually was both the husband and the wife were economic partners. And they had trades that they learned from their parents. They were plugged into their community and sort of the local supply chain, the local economic life they played a vital role. And their children also were playing a role, whether it was farming, and helping them grow what they themselves as a family would eat. And also to help learn the family trades so that they could pass it on likewise to their children. I mean, all of this was how the family was originally constructed. And in that framework, the husband and wife were very much partners. They were both very industrious in what they were doing, but they weren't caught up in consumer culture and materialism and thinking, boy, we got to become like just the richest people in the world.
Yeah.
It was, we need to provide for ourselves and provide for our family. And if, the general rule was back then, it was more of an attitude of stewardship. If you end up with more than you need, you take care of others.
I just need to say this. We need to understand that Sam is a recovering homesteader. And it's like, yes, he went to Homesteaders Anonymous, and so he's still kind of shaking some. No, I'm teasing, but it's interesting. There are extremes, and there are extreme views, and extremes are usually always bad. And I think what you're talking about is, to some degree, and I agree with you, Sam. I really do on this part, especially that I think we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes,
right. We have in the context of liberation and modernization and technology and whatever, I think we've forgotten some basic truths and some basic connections, where it's really easy to sort of relabel things in ways that they were never really viewed. So I am not advocating that women can't work or that we need to go back to where the man was the head of the family and he had the newspaper and he came home and he smoked his pipe in the chair and that the wife brought him, a hot toddy or something, and told the kids, and she bathed the kids and put them to bed after they paraded in front of dad saying, good night, father, good night, father, good night, father. And it's like, that, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, and I wasn't saying that either.
No, I know you weren't. And I do want to say, but what you said sounded radical, and it's like, it's not.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying, and that's why I think it seems radical that the Pope would say, did you hear what he said? That marriage is like between a man and a woman, and that was a stable part of society, and that's where society was built. That's crazy talk. Doesn't he know that we're in the 21st century, and we should be talking like this? Now, most of my Catholic friends don't say that.
Yeah.
But a lot of us, I think, have been too quiet over the last several years or decades in terms of watching things slip away. That should not be slipping away. And that's why I really want to go back to that phrase, baby with the bathwater. We don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because there is God-revealed truth about how we are to live and who we are called to be and the dignity of the human person for male and female, that we're equally dignified. We have different gifts, different skills, different charisms, each
yes,
of us.
Yes.
And that we're called to live in harmony, recognizing that dignity, and that it's not about who's in charge and things like that and who's the breadwinner or whatever. It's not that at all. In fact, what it is, it's so funny because I've gotten to a point now at 63 years old, okay, I'm telling everybody my age, where I'm like, I'm not trying to get ahead in the world. I really am not. I'm not trying to say, what's my next big dream in terms of financial goals? What am I trying to attain? Where am I trying to get? And realize, I just want to be happy. I want to find joy. And then I start realizing the joy and the happiness is finding out that I'm going to have another grandchild. And there's such a simple, beautiful gift in that I go, this is the reward. This is all the reward I want. right? God has taken care of all the issues and all the problems, and every time we have a financial bump in the road or some other kind of situation that needs to be dealt with, God's taken care of that. And there's always been like a little whenever he closes a door, he opens a window, or whatever those expressions are. And it really is true. And if I set my sights, if Bess and I set our sights on the simple things that bring joy, and it turns out those things that bring joy are not like winning the lottery, you know, which is a terrible dream to have. If that's your dream, you need a new dream.
Yeah.
Right? Because you think everything's going to be good if I just have, you know, just buckets of cash. And it's like you find out, you know, it's not. I'd like to try, but no, that's not the case. The thing is, all of the things that have brought us joy are the things that involve my family. Just that's what's brought joy. Or helping others see the simple joys, right? And when I do that, when I focus on that, and I think that's what Pope Leo is wanting us to do. I think he's wanting us to focus on the simple joy of being human, but living in God's love and understanding what it is God is calling each one of us to be and to do, which is different for everybody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a simplistic joy in being human, in recognizing human dignity. And I think the more that we do that, I just think if people say, like, well, hey, what's the secret to happiness? The secret to happiness is being human, recognizing that you're human, recognizing that you need God, that God loves you, and that God has given you these gifts of other humans to be with. And when we do that, the whole world changes and everything gets better. So save the family, save the world, but certainly just live as a human being and recognize the great gift that there is in that. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.